Turn One Elf Go. My name's Chase, and welcome to the RTR Forward podcast, where we talk about everything and anything Magic the Gathering, focusing primarily on all sets following RTR, which is Return to Ravnica. Yeah, so today we've got a pretty exciting part two episode. So this is actually a part two of one session that I had with my friend Chase. No, not a clone. Even though we have the same name, we are two completely different people. But we talked about Theros lore, so all the lore behind Theros, the background, the Gideon arc, the Elspeth arc. And for today's video, we're going to be talking about the Theros Beyond Death arc, and then some general lore discussion. So without further ado, I hope you enjoy this episode. But so this whole story kind of, it's basically an enrapture of Elspeth's escape and her way of getting out of the underworld. Special little note here. So apparently there was a book that was supposed to be like the only lore we received on this set was like a one page insert explaining all the lore for this, all
just
the lore
like
for
a
this
straight
set.
Bullet point list.
And it wasn't necessarily a bullet point list, but it was like baby paragraphs and like maybe like one full page where just explaining the story. So apparently there was supposed to be a novel or like some kind of like official like story for this. And it got delayed. It didn't get delayed, but it just got canceled. And apparently we're supposed to get like the official lore for the set like in May or something. So here's my theory. Okay. So we had, I don't know if you read them. You probably didn't. But there were two books written by Greg Weisman about War of the Spark. There was a War of the Spark novel, which is unfortunately on my shelf right there. I ended up picking up the first one, which the first one, way better than the second one. The second one is just trash. It's just bad.
Oh wow.
The first one is not good either, but it's not terrible.
It's not like the worst book you've ever read, like the second one.
Yeah, no, it's so he had such a bad backlash and Wizards in general had such a bad backlash from how bad the second book was that I'm pretty sure he wrote the third book and they just didn't release it because I'm fairly certain it was rumored that he had a 3-book deal.
Okay.
And so that was the third book.
Oh man.
So no one knows. It's all speculation, but we believe that he wrote the third book and it was just, they just didn't even release it because of all the backlash from the second book.
So quick question as a newbie, are the books bad because the lore's bad, or is the book bad because like, is it just written real poorly and the story is kind of convoluted and doesn't make sense?
The story is fine. It's just written poorly.
Okay.
Very like the author. So little background on the author. The author wrote Gargoyles.
Interesting.
Like TV show.
Interesting. Like that was really good.
Yeah, I wrote the screenplay for that. So it's like high hopes. Well, he wrote these books and they're just the pacing on them is so weird. And he tries to like encompass so many characters that he just is not good at juggling characters.
Ooh.
And so it's while the story itself is fine, you can tell that the book is very like thrown together for the most part. Obviously, this isn't like these books aren't a great example of some of the magic lore. Like, there's actually officially written magic lore that's like amazing. One that I've always like stood by, and one that I always recommend is the Ixalan storyline.
Okay,
it's apparently just so I read some of it. I need to go back and reread it, but it was
really good.
It was beautiful. It was great. Man. It was fantastic. They've done really good jobs on some of their sets. I know Tarkir's lore was pretty good.
Okay.
I know Dominaria, when we came back to it, wasn't bad. Like, it had some fine lore.
Yeah.
It's just, when we got these books, it was just bad.
Yeah.
Like, this is, like, the first, like, amount of bad lore that we faced in a while.
And it was just very backlashed.
Yeah.
Sorry, I didn't mean to get you off key.
No, you're good, man.
I'm not used to having books for lore. I'm very much a Dark Souls nerd. And so all my lore comes from item descriptions, from swords and things like that.
So the lore for this is very, I guess, it's not convoluted. It's just, there's not a lot to it. There's not a lot of meat, okay?
Yeah.
You're eating like a happy meal of lore right here. You're not eating like a full full course meal like we did with the original Theros, like just full of lore. Like, we just skimmed the surface on the amount of lore in that story and the lore to Theros. We're just skimming the surface here, but hitting the really high points.
That explains a lot why I had trouble finding so much.
Yeah, and so this lore is still very new, and like as we go on, it'll get more and more fleshed out. So we're gonna kind of just hit the high points. So basically, this story starts out with Elspeth's in the underworld. Okay.
Okay.
She's dead.
Yeah.
But she's in the underworld, so Ashiok was in. We didn't really introduce Ashiok in our. Ashiok was around in the first Theros story yeah. block. Kind of just did its own thing.
Okay.
But basically, Ashiok comes back and is basically torturing Elspeth. And
wow.
They're torturing Elspeth through Elspeth's nightmares. So Elspeth has had... If she was on a list of people with PTSD, she'd probably be the first one on that list. Because yeah. Elspeth has some PTSD. Like, just the Phyrexians ravaging her homeworld mm-hmm. as a child, and then having to face them again and losing, like, your best friend to them.
Yeah.
And losing a war against them again as yeah. an adult. And then getting killed by a god.
Oh, my
God. And just all this watching and accidentally murdering your friend. Mm. Like,
from how many bad dreams she's had, I'd be pretty afraid to go to sleep at this point. Like... She killed Daxos due to a bad dream, essentially, from Xenagos, and now Ashiok's just like, here's a bunch of bad dreams.
Yeah, you know? So Ashiok's basically just torturing her with all of her bad dreams, and just, like, throwing her in these realms, fighting Phyrexians again, just basically just messing with her in the underworld. And actually, from one of those, Elspeth gets one of her best weapons so far, which is the Shadow Spear, which is basically Heliod's spear, but a shadow version of it. So Ashiok causes her to have a nightmare where she's fighting off with Heliod, and then a nightmare that Heliod eventually kills her. But she manages to get a hold of his spear and actually pulls it out of the nightmare and literally makes it physical in the world. So she has this, like, Spear of Darkness, which is basically the shadow of Heliod's spear. Which is pretty dope.
That's... You were talking about, like, belief. It takes a lot of belief to be able to pull a spear from a dream.
Yeah, so she basically pulls the spear out. And I don't really know... It's not really explained how she gets out of, like, Ashiok's torture. But all I know is Ashiok, like, as they are doing all that night... Like, diving into Elspeth's head and like, making her nightmares become reality. They become really fascinated by the Phyrexians.
Yeah.
Phyrexians are just pure horror. So Ashiok actually planeswalks away to go learn more about the Phyrexians. So I'm sure we'll hear from them eventually, but that's basically the story on that.
So one thing, the reason I brought up that I'm used to getting my lore from, like, weird descriptions and, like, items or, like, a weird, like, a one or two sentence text is because I've started to try and pick up lore from, like, small little things. And one of the things about Ashiok that I'm curious about is if Ashiok let Elspeth go or if she escaped. Because in the trailer for Theros Beyond Death, the one where she's, like, in the underworld and you see Ashiok and she's going through this wall of darkness, essentially. It's like she gets dragged down into the underworld.
And I think that was just like a manifestation of her nightmares. Okay. I think that's what it was. And I think it's partially that Elspeth escapes Ashiok's grasp, but I think it's also Ashiok just kind of let her go.
I did notice in that she did get dragged down, but through I don't know, her own power, it seemed like she did drag herself back up through that manifestation.
So Ashiok leaves, goes on an adventure to go explore more about the Phyrexians. They'll fit right in.
Yeah.
Like, easy. Phyrexians, they'll be best buds.
They'll be great
friends. They're both things of terror. And so Elspeth now has this spear, the Shadow Spear. So she's like, I'm escaping the underworld. I have revenge to seek. I'm going to kill Heliod. I'm getting out of here. I didn't deserve to die. I saved the day. Stuff like that.
Revenge trip to Electric Boogaloo.
Yeah, basically. And so what allows her to kind of escape is at this time on the surface, so in the overworld, Heliod is starting to realize that, hey, us gods are not that immortal. Like, you know, Xenagos was killed by, you know, this god-killing weapon, and so he's kind of afraid of kind of being replaced because, you know, people can just believe and gods can appear out of nowhere, and he doesn't want to be replaced, so he fears that the other gods might try to step in his place because he tries to be the alpha god. In that way,
the top dog.
And so he basically takes Daxos, who's still Daxos the Return, brings him back into the overworld and names him as his champion, and basically sends him into the city, the Polis of Miletus, and says, hey, get all the other gods out of there.
Yeah.
It's my city. And so the other gods are like, I don't like that. And so now each god, at least each of the main gods, basically champion their own person from the underworld as their champion. So, Erebos has Tiramet,
yeah,
the Mad King. Thassa gets back Caliphae. Nylea resurrects Renata as her champion, and Purphoros resurrects Anax as his champion, which he's just like a fallen Acroan soldier.
Okay.
And they basically go to war with each other. And so when the gods go to war, everything kind of falls apart. And so, you know, with Erebos being away from the front, people start leaving the underworld, escaping the underworld. I know Clothis gets really angry.
She's really mad about this.
Like, she gets very upset because basically, like, she's, number one, she's mad because Xenagos took her place in the Pantheon, or attempted to take her place in the Pantheon. So she's very upset. And then when she learns that countless souls are starting to defy their destiny or their fate and reverse their own deaths, she gets real angry.
She decides to do something about it.
Yeah, she does.
So from here on, this is when, like, she's like, I'm going to deal with it. And then she realizes that Elspeth is one of those that's coming back from the underworld and Elspeth pretty much comes back through sheer force of will, I read.
She basically notices that there's tremors in the underworld, and she goes, I have a greater purpose in this multiverse. I am escaping.
Yeah.
And so she just, like, she's making her way to Erebos' palace, which there's supposedly a hidden exit in that can get you out of the underworld. So she's on her way to do that, and as she goes, Clothis is like, you ain't getting out of here. So Clothis does something crazy.
She makes a person. Just boom, bam, person. I mean, I'm sure there's some more magical things that happen, but she's like, okay, well, you killed a god, so I'm not going to mess with you. I'm going to make something that can, though. You know, I'm going to make a champion, if you will. Enter Kallax. And so she just makes, I know I talked about this with you, for lack of a better term, I'm just going to call him a homunculus, a fake human, if you will. So she makes Kallax out of dirt, earth, clay, which is very Amazon of her, you know, relating this back actually to a comic book that's basically Wonder Woman, but, like, it's a dude this time. And so she creates him, and she's like, I give you one purpose. Kill her.
Pass the butter.
Pass the butter. There you go. I'm done with you.
Go kill Elspeth, or go stop Elspeth from escaping. That's basically his task.
Yeah.
You can't kill someone that's already dead.
Yeah. Okay, there you go. Stop her from escaping.
So basically, we don't get like a huge synopsis of that, but basically, as Elspeth is making her way, she's basically gaining followers.
Yeah.
Like, the other returned, or other people are stuck in the underworld that want to escape too. They start to believe, and she tells them, hey, this is Purros, Heliod's spear. This is his spear.
Yeah, like, I'm in possession of it.
Yeah, this totally isn't a shadow spear that I pulled out of a dream. This is his real spear. And as more and more she gains more and more followers, people believe her, and so eventually that actually becomes Heliod's spear. Like, she is holding Heliod's spear again.
I love that she makes other people believe so hard that she steals it from him without even meeting him or the spear. She's just like, hey, I have the real spear here.
And then Heliod pulls out his spear, and it's like a blow-up spear. It's like, wait, hold on.
This is a balloon.
What happened here? But so Kallax is following her, all right? And it's basically, that's what, like, he finds her every once in a while and, like, fights a little bit, and then she, like, gets away. But, like, it doesn't really explain much of what happened there.
It's a very sparse kind of, like you said, like you mentioned, the lore doesn't have a book. It's kind of sparse in that, right?
Yeah, there's not like, it's just, all we have is a summary.
Yeah.
So
they fight, and she leaves. She wins and leaves without killing him.
So she continues to go, and eventually she makes her way towards freedom. And so Daxos is back. He's Elspeth's former love. Heliod learns from Daxos that she is attempting to escape. And apparently past the point of reason, Heliod decides to stand in Elspeth's way, refusing her passage out of the underworld, and that she would not be allowed to escape.
This is what we call a bad idea.
Yeah, so there's one thing Heliod doesn't know, and is that he has a blow-up toy as a spear, because Elspeth has his real spear.
I love the way they describe it, because, I'll get to that in a second, but, so, you know, with Heliod, just standing, like, I imagine him in a dirt road just standing there. Tumbleweed goes like a by. Cowboy. Yeah, like a cowboy, but he's got like a spear in the hand instead of a six shooter. And so she's finally out of the underworld, and she sees him on this dusty road and goes, killed one god, you know, gonna kill you two now. And so again, this is one of those moments where they're just like, they fight.
Yeah, so basically he charges at her with his spear.
Yeah.
And then the spear literally just shatters on her.
Like, it just crumbles.
It just crumbles because he then realizes that she is holding his spear and that the spear he thought was his was not actually, like, the actual spear.
Yeah.
And so he basically puts his hands up and he goes, screw it, I yield. Don't kill me. I'm sorry.
I didn't mean to.
And what's funny is quite literally just a sentence that says, and Erebos laughed. I can just, like, imagine Erebos in the back watching, just chuckling, like,
I 100% pictured Hades from the Hercules Disney movie, just in the background with that James Wood laugh, like, ah!
Basically, so Erebos takes Heliod after he yields and basically, like, makes him his prisoner. So Heliod is Erebos's brother, but they don't get along. So
yeah.
He basically chains him up in the underworld and then puts him under a giant boulder, and he just has to sit and hold the boulder for all of eternity. Which I think that's a reference to something.
It's a reference to a couple of things. I mean, there is the hero whose name I can't think of at this very moment, where he's eternally pushing a boulder up a hill, and he makes progress, and it falls down. Makes progress, falls down. And that's one of the Greek myths, where he's just eternally pushing this boulder up a hill.
Sisyphus,
thank you. Or, so that's a boulder, or it could be probably, and this is what I think it would be closer to, Atlas. If you don't know of the Titan Atlas, then you've probably heard of an Atlas. And Atlas's punishment for his war against the gods, instead of being thrown into Tartarus like everyone else, all the other Titans, he's made to hold the world up for the rest of eternity. So he doesn't hold the world up, but he's not pushing a boulder up a hill.
But like Heliod's punishment is very reminiscent of that.
Yes.
Like, it's definitely drawing some amount of like reference to that.
Yes.
Which is pretty neat.
I find it, they were just like, we're going to make him essentially an Atlas-like character now.
Yeah, and so Erebos is like, cool, yeah, my brother is now imprisoned. I hate that guy anyways. So he basically says, all right, you did it, Elspeth, great job.
Mm-hmm.
You're a pretty cool kid. I'm going to give you my eternal gratitude and give you safe passage out of this realm.
You may leave.
And so she's like, cool. So then she comes back to the overworld, meets up a little bit with Daxos, and then she planes walks away. And just like a lost little puppy, Kallax watches in the distance as she disappears, and he goes, well, crap, how am I supposed to follow that up? And then all of a sudden, his longing and agony for wanting to follow Elspeth just manifests into a spark, and he just becomes a planeswalker and literally just planeswalks after her.
Yeah, like he's so hellbent on killing her.
I don't even think he wants to kill her. I think he just wants to drag her back to the underworld. He just wants her in the underworld.
Yeah.
Like, that's so like he was made for that purpose. And I'm sure in another set, we're going to see Elspeth and then Kallax like right behind her. Like in the art, like you'll see Kallax just lurking behind a tree.
He's just like peeking out from behind a tree. Like, I see you. I'm coming after it.
Like the forever tracker.
Oh, God.
But yeah, and that's kind of how the summary ends.
Yeah, it kind of leaves off with, like, Heliod being trapped and Elspeth planeswalking away, finally, supposedly, being able to be happy. But, I mean, I'm sure we both know that's not truly going to happen.
I'm fairly certain the next time we might see Elspeth is going to be, like, in some Phyrexian-related event. She's got a vendetta against them, and she wants to avenge her fallen friends that died in wars against them. So we'll definitely see her again. But that leads the question of what is the future of Theros? So Heliod, basically removed from the Pantheon. He's in the underworld now. So does that mean there's room for another character to ascend in his spot? Because like I said, if you believe in anything hard enough, it'll happen.
So there's a couple things I'm interested in. A couple questions I have after reading up on the lore here is, the power levels seem to be infinite for the gods in this realm. Greek mythology, they do have their set power levels. I mean, like, essentially, if you want to put it in those terms. So, I mean, essentially, if for somehow, some reason, if Daxos is still under Heliod's spell or whatever they happen to pull, you know, whatever kind of pool they happen to bring in the MTG universe, Heliod could still escape.
Yeah.
He could grow powerful enough. He's like, this boulder's lightweight now or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, we never know. Like, I definitely think, so one thing you'll come to notice as you kind of look through magic lore is Wizards is really good at taking villains and tucking them away. Just tucking them away. Not killing them, but just tucking them away. Do you know what happened to Nicol Bolas?
Yeah, I actually, so War of the Spark is, I know you said this is an unpopular opinion, but just from not reading the books, but from reading the lore itself on, like, Wikipedia and all that, it's one of my favorite lores.
No, so War, I'm not saying, War of the Spark is fantastic. It's great.
Oh, really?
Great story.
Okay.
I'm just saying the way it was written in that book was bad.
Oh,
the story was good.
Okay.
So, yes, no. Nicol Bolas did not die, even though
he's, like,
everyone thinks he's dead, but Ugin and Jace.
Yeah.
Jace read Ugin, because Ugin was like, hey, don't tell anybody. I'm taking Nicol Bolas and I'm going to put him in his own realm, in my prison realm.
In the prison realm.
And he's just going to be here for all eternity and I'm just going to watch him.
One of my favorite card arts.
So yeah, so they just, so they've always like taken, they've always taken villains and put them and hid them somewhere. So the Phyrexians are still on Phyrexia.
Yeah.
The Eldrazi, so two of them are dead. Two of the Titans are dead. Imrakul is trapped in the moon on Innistrad.
Yeah.
She's still alive. She's just in the moon.
Yeah.
She willingly actually put herself in the moon. So, like...
And they talked to one of the Eldrazi. Somebody... Jace talked to one of the Eldrazi at one point.
Yeah, it was probably Imrakul.
I believe so. Okay.
But, yeah, so Wizards just takes villains and puts them away. And,
okay.
And to bring them back later. So,
yeah,
so
yeah.
They really don't, like, close doors very often.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so Heliod definitely is probably going to come back again.
So I do find it interesting because we're talking about Theros, and this is weird to me. Usually, you know, if you have a character like Gideon, who's larger than life, who's like, you have a pantheon of heroes, and you have Gideon, who's like the hero of heroes, and he never returned. He's dead. And what it seems like, he's dead.
Yeah, so...
And he's never returned.
There are... Characters die, so yes, I've basically been calling out all the characters that Wizards has tucked away, but yes, characters die, villains die, two of the Eldrazi Titans died, we've lost several Planeswalkers, a lot of them in the last year, so Domri's dead for good, Dak Faden's dead for good, and now Gideon is dead for good. And we've lost Planeswalkers in the past. We lost Vincer. Vincer was Elspeth's friend that died in the Phyrexian War on Meriden. He's dead. I mean, we have older characters like Urza. Urza's dead. Just so many dead characters. But it's not often, like, I feel like going through the story of the last like 6 years, I felt like a lot of the character, like all the characters had plot armor.
Yeah.
Like you had the Jaestus Five, which was Jace, Nissa, Chandra, and Gideon and Liliana, and they just, nothing ever happened to them. They were
nothing
always
bad.
Indestructible. Everything was always great, even if they were like defeated, because
yeah,
they get defeated in Amonkhet against Nicol Bolas. Nicol Bolas defeats them all, but they don't die.
Yeah, they so all like just
it
kinda...
was pretty shocking to have like one of the main characters, basically like the Captain America, die.
Yeah.
In that story. And
okay, so a question for you, is there a you know, because I just recently started playing again. Before Theros, was there a thing? Was there a set between A War of the Spark and Theros?
So,
like a
in
story,
the, like in the storyline, like
yeah.
A, oh, so like a okay,
like a lore.
Oh, so yes, Throne of Eldraine had lore.
Throne of Eldraine, that's right. I forgot about Throne of
Eldraine. So good old Oko, on
yeah,
turning people into deer and
gear milk.
Yeah, turn people into elk. So yeah, there's lore in that.
I find it, I guess one of the
There's
things,
actually a book. There's a book. The Wildered Quest. It's a PDF.
Oh, wow. That's interesting they didn't publish it.
Yeah.
But I find it interesting that they go back to Theros so soon after killing Gideon. Because, like, here's a major character who started out on Theros. Okay, he's dead. We're going back to Theros. So, it was kind of a bold move. I liked it. I do really like the set, and I like the lore a lot.
I think it
seemed to focus elsewhere.
It's really surreal, though, how, like... You don't think like, oh, when something happens on one plane, it affects another.
Yeah.
But like you go to Theros and you see some of the art of Gideon's statue of where, like,
and it's
a memorial for him dying and like a few sets ago. Like, yeah. It's insane. I love how they do that.
Yeah, I really like that. Sorry, so we actually got a little off topic. You were asking about predictions.
Oh, those are predictions. That's
no, those are all predictions.
so we saw two Titans being printed. So my thought process is they didn't actually mention the Titans in the story. I'm pretty sure those were like snapshots of the past.
Yeah,
so those were the two Titans when they were like wreaking havoc on Earth. Whereas,
so part of the I actually read up on this. Part of the reason, well, actually, I say part of the whole reason, Clothis is in the underworld is because she's the gatekeeper to the Titans. Yeah. So in Greek mythology, there's a war, they defeat the Titans, they throw them into what is called Tartarus, which is also a primordial being. It's like a living, breathing world, essentially. And so they do the same thing there. Like, it's to a T, except for Tartarus, they just get thrown into this black abyss in the underworld, and Clothis is like, hey, I've got the key. So it's funny, I was going to ask you about that. They're not part of the storyline, but you have two Titans show up, and Clothis is now, like, kind of worried about other stuff. I wonder if in the future...
Yeah, if more will escape.
Yeah.
I don't know. So in this, like I said, in the little snapshot story we got, it doesn't mention really the Titans at all. It mentions Clothis and her guarding the Titans. Okay. That's about it. So we know the Titans were binded back forever ago. I don't really know if either of them escaped.
It's so one of the lore things I was gonna bring up. I don't think they really, if they do mention it, it might be in passing. But I know if you notice the things that have the new keyword unchained,
or escape.
Yeah. Thank you. I'm thinking because they have the chain symbol on them.
Yeah.
When you look at those, two of them are Titans, or like a lot of them come back from the dead, if you will, the graveyard. So it seems to me like those things that are dead already or were dead, died recently, whatever. Pleukranos is one. Yeah. The Hydra was killed earlier, like in the last Theros set.
Yeah.
So if you ask like a lore opinion, I think that means they escaped because they have the escape mechanic.
So that's like a flavor and a lore, like, yeah, because it's flavorful because they escaped and they're around. But yeah, this from a quick little control F on the story, it doesn't look like they mentioned the Titans other than just saying, hey, they were trapped, or yeah, they're basically imprisoned.
I could
definitely see us seeing some more Titans in the future. Didn't disclose how many Titans there were, but we only saw two of them. I'm pretty sure there's more than that.
I imagine so.
I'm excited to maybe see more Titans. I think it'd be cool. I mean, yeah, we always like to watch the story go forward, but I think it'd be cool to go back, to go to like a set, like go to Theros, like pre-Elspeth.
Like, yeah,
back when the Titans were all roaming and Clothis and the gods were all fighting the Titans. Like, I think that would make for a pretty cool set.
So you're thinking like Theros Ancient War type? Yeah.
So I know how, like, every time we revisit a plane, it's always in the future. Like, we're always, it's like a timeline. We're always going forward. Yeah. I think at some point we're going to start going backwards. We're going to start like going to like pre Liliana Innistrad, like, mm-hmm, like stuff like that. I think that'd be really cool to like, kind of like how we went to back to Dominaria.
Yeah.
But it was like a newer version of Dominaria, but still saw a lot of callbacks. But
like all the ancient.
I don't know.
That'd be kind of, I think that'd be cool to see, you know, it'd be one way to introduce the Titans without having them all escape from the underworld.
Yeah.
And then maybe when you do eventually go back there in the future, that you can have them all escape. And you're like, oh, I remember these from the last set because they were defeated in the ancient war or whatever.
Yeah, so I don't know how they're going to do that, but I think that'd be a really cool way to introduce them. It also gets me thinking, like, Ashiok, Phyrexians. when are we going to see Ashiok? I think we're going to see the Phyrexians in the next year. I think we'll see
them. So?
Yeah. So we've got, spring set has been announced, Ikoria. Mm-hmm. They released some new graphics for it, which are pretty cool.
Okay.
And then we've got Zendikar. Mm-hmm. We're going back to Zendikar again in the fall. I don't know where we're going to go after that. It's a good question. But I think we're definitely going to revisit another plane.
I mean, just from the things I've heard about, like, lore makers in general, they have plans for God, you know? If you look at the Marvel universe, I think they have, like, the next 10 years of story planned out. Yeah. And, that, I mean, that's their whole job, is, like, coming up with stuff in advance before it comes out, so that way they can... They have time to change, balance, whatever, make the cards, make the sets, and all that kind of stuff. So I'm sure, you know, doing this, they have written that plan.
Yeah.
I disagree with how soon it is.
I don't know. I think here's my reasoning, okay?
Mm-hmm.
We went to Dominaria in 2018.
Okay.
Karn, all he wanted to do was go fight the Phyrexians. Like, that's all, literally, like, in the story, that's all he wanted to do, was go back and fight the Phyrexians. So, like, we got that. All right. Cool. We got Elspeth. Elspeth's back. Elspeth also, a lot of references to Phyrexians in the set. She hates Phyrexians, wants to go kill them. So, I feel like maybe it will be another few years, but I feel like what you'll start to see is kind of, like, this overarching story of, like, heroes coming together to go, like, another onslaught on...
Okay.
On new Phyrexia. So, I think, I don't know. We had a big story arc before.
Yeah.
Ended with War of the Spark. We're kind of, like, hitting these little small stories, but, like, I feel like eventually everything's going to kind of come back together and we'll have, like, a fluid story again.
Yeah. And something, you know, I guess to just kind of mention in passing, they're probably doing the, you'll probably start seeing this in Marvel's here, in the Marvel universe as well. You've done the big bad guy now. But you want to keep going, so you have to. You can't just you set the power scale back a little bit. Like they defeated Thanos, and now they're back to the new Spider-Man movie. He's fighting a regular dude on, like, you know, in London. So I think now they're taking the power scale back a bit from Nico Bolas, and then they're gonna start building that storyline back up to, you know, whatever
the next big daddy.
Yeah. Whatever that happens to be. And you know more lore than I do, probably by far, so if there is a next big baddie, you may already know him, and you may have a hint.
I mean, it could totally be someone that we wouldn't even miss. It could be just a brand new character, but I definitely think we're going to be revisiting the Phyrexians very soon.
Okay, that'd be interesting.
I just want to play a set on... I just want to play some Magic with some new Phyrexian cards. Like, that'd be fun. Like, I missed out on the first time it came out back in 2008.
Oh, man.
No. Yeah, it was like 2009. Maybe 2010? Hold on. So, I have to think back on my timeline. So, I always have to remember. So, 2013 is when Theros came out. 2012 is when Ravna came out. 2011 was Innistrad. 2010 mm-hmm. was New Phyrexia.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So that's a... So it's been a while.
Yeah, it's just been a little while.
For Phyrexians.
Yeah, then. it's been 10 years since we were in New Phyrexia. So I think we have some potential for some revisiting. And I think Wizards' plan with their revisits was they wanted 50% of their sets every year to be revisits.
Really?
So this year, what did we get? So starting this calendar year, so Theros, Ikoria, Zendikar, Core Set 2020 Zendikar. So technically Core Set 2021, I guess.
Yeah.
Core Set 2021 and Ikoria are going to be like Core Set's always different stuff, like whatever.
Yeah.
Ikoria, a new plane, Theros, mm-hmm. Zendikar. And then the following year we'll probably have like another new set, new plane, and then maybe like two returns and then like a new plane.
Oh.
I don't know, something like that. But I know they were talking about like at least 50% of planes.
Yeah, so this will be my first new plane. well, no, that's not true.
Throne of Eldraine was
Throne of Eldraine.
I mean, it got overshadowed by Oko so much that everybody just kind of forgot about Throne of Eldraine. All they remember is Oko, and then they like get Oko this amount of distaste in their mouth. They're like, ugh.
You pretty much got Oko, Fires of Invention, and Cat.
Yeah.
And Kenrith. That's pretty much anything everyone remembers. Maybe Murderous Rider, things like that. But, like, lore-wise...
Like, nobody really, like... It's just Oko. Everybody cares about things getting elked.
Yeah. So, you're right. Actually, then, I've had one new plane and one return. So, I'm kind of interested to see how Wizards does it with each, because, like, with a new plane, I imagine. Well, I thought, you know, with a new plane is when they would introduce their new mechanics. Mm-hmm. But with Theros, they introduced Escape as a new mechanic.
So I think in general, when they go back to a plane, they go, hey, what did we do right?
Mm-hmm.
And was this mechanic well-liked? Did it really relate to the plane really well? And they basically go back and forth. So with Theros,
mm-hmm.
there were a lot of mechanics in the first Theros set. The ones that returned were Constellation and Devotion.
Mm-hmm.
Heroic kind of returned. Heroic is just when you target somebody, an effect happens. They kind of brought that back, like in a pseudo ability that just pumped your team.
Okay.
So they usually every time we go to a set, we're not going to get like all repeat mechanics.
Yeah.
I think now I gotta look. Dominaria. When we went to what were Dominaria's mechanics? I know it was Kicker. I want to see if, was there any new mechanics? Oh, Sagas. Yes.
Ah.
And technically Historic. So yeah, so basically every time we go to a new plane, we get some amount of new mechanics. But yeah, and even like older, like new planes that we've never been to before, we may even get a returning mechanic on that plane.
What I guess the part that interests me the most is I mentioned earlier how the escape mechanic kind of lore wise is them breaking out of the underworld. Mm-hmm. And then there's like they're all enchantments because in that world, you know, everything's kind of like this enchantment, like they're all based around enchantments. And then with you know, Theros, there was like food tokens, with Throne of Eldraine, there's like the food tokens. It's all very storybook like there's even, and the mechanic is adventure, because it's, you know, the lore is like, it's like a storybook you're going into. They all go on these great quests, and that's the adventure they go on. For me, I always like seeing how the mechanic relates back to what the plane is about, or what the story is about, you know, and how it relates to the lore.
Yeah, for sure.
I think
for the most part, they've done a pretty good job about that. I know in, what was it, Guilds of Ravnica, that's basically, so that was like, Guilds of Ravnica was like the, how do I even explain it? Like the, everybody was like keeping secrets from each other, like really it's like a shady storyline.
Yeah.
And so like everybody had like mechanics that like basically like were trying to get intel. So what I thought was really cool is the Dimir Guild had Surveil, which basically allows them to dig for information by you know, flipping the top thing of your card of your library into your graveyard if you don't want it.
Yeah.
So they've definitely done really cool flavorful ways to show things up. I think Escape is a really cool mechanic to illustrate just like leaving the underworld. But any other comments or anything else you want to mention before we close it up for today?
The only comment I have is thanks for bringing me on the show. Had a good time. I'm really enjoying the Theros set. It's a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
I never thought I'd say this, but I actually really like the green in this set. Usually I'm like a black and white player.
Yeah, no, green's really... green made you feel like a terrible person, like, in standard-wise, but, like, green is, like, it's expressed really well in Theros.
Yeah, so...
And it's just fun.
Yeah, I'm having fun looking at and, you know... right now, just theory crafting until I can build stuff.
But Theros was my baby set. I started out on Theros when I first started playing Magic. So I have a very soft spot for Theros, and I'm really happy to be back.
Yeah,
and I'm enjoying this set a lot so far. But yeah, I think that's gonna do us for the day. Thanks for listening, everybody, and we'll catch you guys next time. Peace out.
See you.